This is Creepy and Geeky, a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Welcome to Creepy and Geeky. I'm your host, Robert, and today's episode is the penultimate movie of the MCU's Infinity Saga, Captain Marvel. Joining me for this episode is my daughter, Katrina. Welcome back to the show, Katrina.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this is the next to last movie in the Infinity Saga. This is the one just before Endgame. And this one, while it is a part of it all, this one is more of a origin story about Captain Marvel set back in the 1990s. I believe 1994, if I'm correct. So this makes her one of the very first Marvel characters in terms of the timeline. Obviously Captain America, Thor, they came earlier in the timeline. But when you're watching this in a timeline order, she would be pretty high up there instead of being so far back in the saga. But she is the first woman led movie of the MCU. We later get Black Widow, of course, and hopefully we'll get some more here in the future. Captain Marvel, she's an important piece of Marvel history in terms of the comic books as well as in the movies. I think that this movie's a lot of fun. This movie got a lot of crap piled onto it. I think just because there was a lot of misogynistic hate. And actually, it's interesting too, because you used to be able to do reviews of a movie before it even came out on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And Rotten Tomatoes had to change their policy on that because so many people were review bombing Captain Marvel, negative review bombing it in such a way that made it have a negative review before it even came out. And so, so they changed that, which was good, because that's ridiculous that they even do that now. But for some reason, Captain Marvel as a character has just gotten a lot of, at least in the Marvel movies that she's been in, where she's been the star of Captain Marvel and the Marvels, that she's just gotten a lot of hate and a lot of, her movies just haven't done as well. The first movie did fine in terms of money. It didn't do great, but it didn't do fine. I can hear the background sound. So that being said, I think that she is a great character, and it's really frustrating as somebody who enjoys these movies this episode, of course, is coming out after the Marvels has come out. And I want to talk about the Marvels in a future episode, but it is right now going down. It's about to go out of theaters already. And it did not do well. There are many factors involved in that. One of which was the writer's strike and the actor's strike. The writer's strike ended a little bit before that, but the actor's strike literally ended the day before the movie came out. And so the actors had no time to do any kind of press for it. And that can actually have an effect on a movie's, perceptions of whether or not it's a good movie or not.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because I think that, because that's not stuff I pay attention to as a moviegoer, as a movie watcher. I don't pay attention to all the press, all the interviews and stuff like that. I don't care about all that.
Yeah.
I care about what I see in the trailer. And if that makes me excited, then I'm going to go to the movie regardless of any other aspect. No review can sway me. Nothing. I will
There's
just go to that movie.
There's definitely a lot of people who get influenced by seeing the actors doing the press tour. like for the Hunger Games film, they were able to, so like SAG-AFTRA like approved them to do a press tour in during the strike.
Because it was a Lionsgate movie and Lionsgate had met their demands.
Okay. So yeah, it was like, without that, I don't think that the Hunger Games would have done as well as it did, because as much as, like, I'm just going to talk about Hunger Games because it's one of my favorite series for a second, but comparatively to the Marvels, the Hunger Games is based on a book, and so it's the same thing as the, like, Marvels, that right. It's like a beloved franchise and that there's already a solid fan base. But there's that added part to it that people just don't know that this movie is coming out, or they don't even know that there was a new book that came out that this movie is based on. And so when you have actors who have been in other shows and movies and stuff, like, say, Rachel Zegler, she was, before The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes came out, she was hated. Like, I see people on the internet
still
now
hated,
love her.
Unfortunately.
No,
yeah.
She is. But I see people on the internet now talking about her performance as Lucy Gray Baird and going, I thought we hated her. Like, why do we all love her now? I thought we hated her. And it's like, but why did you hate her? Like,
yeah, exactly.
The only reason that people hated her, the only reason that people hated her for the majority of it is because she said that something about Snow White, because she's playing Snow White in the new Snow White, like, live action film. She said something negative towards the original story. And so it's like, that's such a lame thing to, like, hate someone about, in my opinion. Like, people have their opinions, and I feel like the actors who play those characters can have opinions about the characters that they're playing because they have that kind of authority to, like, talk about it. So, but without the actors' influence, I doubt that it would have done as well, because, like, as much as people are talking about the story and the story of the movie, they're also talking about the actors themselves, and they wouldn't be talking about the actors unless they had a press tour before and after the films.
All of that, plus the fact that because two of the characters originated on Disney Plus shows, there was sort of a resistance. There's this weird resistance by people sometimes that, and I've mentioned this before, that on previous episodes, that I don't believe you have to watch every single thing to understand it. But because Monica and Kamala both came from Disney Plus shows, that people still felt that they needed to watch those shows first to be able to understand them.
Yeah.
And I still don't believe that. I still think that going into the Marvels, that you had enough information given to you in the movie, that you could understand. I know you watched, and we don't want to get too far into this because we want to get back on Captain Marvel. But yeah, so I think that there were a lot of factors that went into that. Whereas with Captain Marvel, these weren't all factors into this. This is, part of this was for Captain Marvel. This was for a lot of people that weren't into comic books. Captain Marvel wasn't a known character. You know, as happened,
a lot of the people who, like, when the original movie that we're going to talk about came out, they were very frustrated with the character of Captain Marvel, because they're like, well, why is a character named after Marvel a woman? And it's like, do you not get the point? It's based on a comic book. Like, this character was already made. This is not a sudden creation of a character for this movie. But people don't understand that.
There was a lot of moronic hate towards this movie. And while I really enjoyed this movie, and while I really enjoyed this movie, I will admit it's not a perfect movie. It's not high. It's not super high tier for me, but it's really good. And it tells a good story. And it's got a lot going for it that I think that if you haven't watched it in a while, go back, watch it again. And maybe it's better than you think it is.
Yeah, I definitely think that as for like some of the action in this movie, it's definitely more slow paced compared to other films. Like there's not nearly as much like hoo-ha, like punch punch, like kind of stuff. Like there's definitely some of it in there, but like compared to when we talked about Ant-Man, that's got way more action. It's got way more like intensity, like to the story. Whereas like Captain Marvel has that intensity, but it's more like an emotional, like she's realizing that she's been like betrayed and influenced and she's missing this entire past of hers. And so it's this kind of like this inner like turmoil that she's having to go through throughout this movie. It's more of a like a, I think comparatively the closest thing that I can equate it to is like Doctor Strange, because he's also going through this like own like self-realization and this kind of, like learning how to be a person in this new world that they're finding themselves in.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, to a big degree, it's a like a fish out of water scenario. You've got and it's a, this one is, I think part of it also is the fact that this was in the midst of everything that was going on in the MCU, it was weird for people to have this movie that took a big step backwards in time and felt disconnected from the overall narrative. Even though it was connected to it, it was leading you into a character who was going to be integral to, maybe not, it was going to be integral into this new movie. And so it was, so I understand the frustrations to a degree. But also at the same time,
all of the frustrations can be explained and reasoned.
Well, not even just that. Like, I just think you have to just, I think once you take it out of context of like maybe going back to it later, after you've watched the Infinity Saga and you already watched Endgame and everything else, go back and watch Captain Marvel again and go back and enjoy it just for what it is. And it's just this origin story of this woman with really crazy powers, and this fun movie where you get to see a lot of Sam Jackson playing Nick Fury in it. And that's a major thing for me in it too, because obviously I'm a huge Sam Jackson fan. But not just that, but he gets probably the most screen time in this movie than he has gotten up to this date in any of the movies. So because he's like the major supporting character in this, and So it's definitely a movie that's, it's kind of a buddy movie between him and Carol. And it's just, and it's her origin story of how she got her powers and getting her to, at least by the end of the movie, getting her to the point where we will then see her in Endgame.
Yeah. So I think this is like a, it was a necessary midpoint film between Captain America, the First Avenger, and where we end up with the Infinity Wars. Like, I think that that is a very necessary, like, middle story for the story of the Tesseract. And it's a good introduction to Carol and to the Skrulls, and to have more backstory on Nick Fury for the MCU, because up till this point, you don't know a lot about Nick Fury other than the fact that he is like the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's working with the Avengers to do this stuff. But you kind of, you get much more like character development with him in this movie, which I think is good because you need that when you're going into the last few films of the Infinity Saga.
Yeah, I think that it's just, it's it's getting off of all the negativity of it all. Mm-hmm. It's just a fun movie. I enjoy the movie a lot. I think it's a good step back. It's a good breather moment, because we just had you had Infinity War, and that was just such a downer. And then you've got mm-hmm. Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is like a little side adventure that seems like it's not connected, but by the end of it, you realize how connected it is. And it's important. Again, Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel play these weird little roles where there are these little side stories that don't seem important, but then will be important in the very next movie.
Yeah.
And play this huge role in what's going to happen. And so, you know, it's just, I don't know. I like the character of Carol Danvers, Ms. Marvel, or Captain Marvel. She was originally Ms. Marvel. I'm going to give a little bit of comic book backstory. In the comic books, Carol Danvers was an Air Force pilot. She was given powers through this machine, had given her powers. It exploded, given her powers, similar to what happens in the movie. They kind of changed it up. There was no Infinity Stone or anything involved in giving her power. But she got powers, and she modeled her name and her costume, which she took the code name of Miss Marvel, because her friend was the original Captain Marvel. Now in the movie, the Captain Marvel is a woman, but in the comic books he was a man. And so for the longest time she was Miss Marvel. She had a costume that changed a couple of times, and she was just Miss Marvel. Then she had her powers stolen and her memories stolen by Rogue, the X-Men, the X-Men now, but at the time she was part of the Brotherhood of Mutants, Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, whichever one. But she was part of Mystique's kind of brotherhood. And so she had her powers and memories stolen. And then later on she got some other powers, some more cosmic star powers, when she was out in space, and she became a character named Binary.
Yeah.
And then later on, her powers changed again. She became, she didn't go back to being Ms. Marvel, but she went back to being she was in the Ms. Marvel costume, but she was calling herself Warbird. She eventually went back to Ms. Marvel for a time, and then, they made her Captain Marvel again, or they made her Captain Marvel. She finally was like, look, I feel like I'm able to take on this mantle now. I'm going to become Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And she's been Captain Marvel ever since. And a lot of the stuff that is in this movie was directly related to a comic book story run by Kelly Sue DeConnick, who's actually in the movie too.
Really?
So they actually put her in the movie. There's a point where Carol comes off the train after the fight with the Skrull on the train. She gets off the train and she passes this woman with some kind of dark red hair and everything. And she passes by that woman with the dark red hair. That's Kelly Sue DeConnick.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, you know, so you get Stan Lee on the train, and then you get Kelly Sue DeConnick off the train. So it's really cool. But yeah, so it's there's this whole history to her character that is very involved. We're only getting pieces of it in the movie so far. But the bare bones of it is there in this movie. She's a person who, got her powers through a device. She was influenced by this person named Marvel, the villain who, I think was involved in her getting her powers in the comic books was Yon Rogg, just like in the movie. And so there's all this that's going on. And so it's at least pretty close, which is always good. It's a fun movie. I love the 90s aspect of it. We get a lot of 1990s music in it. We've got, the style and the aesthetic. It's fun to see all that. It's fun to see young Nick Fury. We get a young Coulson in this. you know, it's fun to see these bits. You know, Fury hasn't lost his eye yet. You know, and this is the movie where we learn how he lost his eye.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of kind of fan servicey moments in terms of that kind of stuff, the building blocks of what's to come. But yeah, so it's just there's so much that's fun in this movie. And if you just like, I really feel like if you didn't like the movie, or maybe you're just kind of indifferent on the movie, I think that if you go back and rewatch this, I think you'll enjoy it a lot more. Hopefully, you know, maybe there's things about it you don't like, and I get that. Don't get me wrong. But this movie is interesting, you know, because of all that. Plus, it introduces the Skrulls, which in mm-hmm. the comic books is a much more warlike and antagonistic race of shape-shifting creatures. And in this movie, they in the beginning, that's kind of what they are, what you're meant to think they are. But then they it changes. The idea for that and shows them being, you know, hounded by the Kree. And
yeah,
and you get an early version of Korath, who first appeared in the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Mm-hmm. He's in this as part of the same crew that Carol's part of. You get Jimma Chan playing Minerva in this, who later on goes to play Cersei in the Eternals movie. So it's pretty funny. So it's interesting to see just all these different characters. There's a bit with Ronan. So yeah, so it's, this is there's the whole Skrull thing is going on.
Uh-huh.
So they're set up a little bit different in this. They're set up more of a, you know, kind of to a degree, they're set up as the villain at first, but then you realize that that the Kree are really the villains in this.
Mm-hmm.
That one, they, you know, are controlling Carol, and two, that they've made the Skrulls this like refugee nation,
mm-hmm.
or refugee species.
Yeah.
And that's all they're trying to do is trying to find a new home, because their home world had been destroyed. And so there is So Carol is gets, how does she get to Earth? I can't even remember. I don't know. She gets sent to Earth somehow. I can't remember offhand. It's been a little bit since I saw the movie. We watched it a couple of weeks ago, but yeah. So she gets sent to Earth, lands on Earth, it crashes into a Blockbuster, which was funny because obviously by the time this movie was made, there were no Blockbusters anymore, and they only had so, you know, there's a lot of these little nights. So, you know, when she crashes into it and you're like, okay, this is not our time period.
Uh-huh.
And then we see young Nick Fury, young Coulson, you know, it's really cool. And I like what they did with Nick Fury and Coulson too. They have them that, with Nick Fury, it's not so obvious. With Coulson, it is, you know, the de-aging, but with Nick Fury, they did a really good job with him, with his de-aging and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's just great. Like I said before, it's great to have him in a role that he's able. I really, and I've said this before, I really think Nick Fury should have been in more of these movies and should have been more integral to a lot of these movies. You know, even if it's just in the background, like him popping up, you know, to clean up the mess or something like that, you know, to help clean up the mess or whatever that they've made, that he should have been more involved in it in yeah. some way or shape or form. But at least in this movie, we get him helping to figure out what's going on with Carol, and trying to figure out the mystery of why she can't remember, because she realizes that she's got memories on Earth, and she's like, I don't remember, you know, I don't think I'm supposed to have memories here, but she does. And so it's really cool, like playing with the memory aspect that Carol has in the comic books as well, because it's happened multiple times. The stuff with Rogue is only one instance of it where she's lost her memory.
Yeah.
And so it's fun to kind of play around with that aspect a little bit in the actual movie. But what, you know, I've been talking a whole bunch about mm-hmm. this. What did you feel about the movie, Katrina?
Well, so you've said that I like really, really like was super into this movie, like before and after it came out originally.
Yeah.
And I think I'm realizing why. Like, I don't have any like memory of like being like crazy, like super into it, but I think I know why I was. And it was because I really liked Supergirl. And
okay.
Her name is Kara Danvers. And
Kara
she
Danvers,
has like,
yeah.
And she has the same like sort of similar powers with the flying and
right.
the like super like strength and all of that stuff. And so I think that's why I liked her, was because I liked Marvel, but they didn't have a character like Supergirl who was like this crazy, like powerful woman character.
Right.
And like, sure, like the Wasp and yeah, like Black Widow, and like they had
right.
woman characters, but they didn't have like a crazy powerful woman character yet. And so
Yeah.
when Captain Marvel came out, I was like, oh my God, they did it. They have one. And her name is almost the same. And
yeah.
And it was fucking Brie Larson. Like, the fuck? Like,
yeah.
She's gorgeous and
Yeah.
A wonderful actress on top of that. So, not just about looks. but anyways, so I liked Brie Larson before because she played Envy Adams, I
Yeah.
think is her name, in Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
And I don't know if I ever saw her in anything else, but when you told me that she was the same person who played that, I was like, oh, that makes sense why I like her. And so, because I loved Scott Pilgrim, I watched it like,
yeah,
not like that often, but like if you watched it often, and if you were watching
right.
it, I would stop and watch it with you, and like,
because right.
I would like go out to get something from the kitchen and you'd be watching it in the living room, and I'd be like, oh, well, let me sit down with you. And so anyways,
yeah,
besides the point, Captain Marvel, upon a rewatch, I still enjoyed it. I still think that Carol Danvers is a fucking badass. I think that the story that she has with her friend Maria Rambeau is like
yes.
crazy, very good. And I love little Monica in that movie. She's just so cute. And then of course Nick Fury. Like, how can you
yeah.
not love Sam Jackson in the MCU?
Exactly.
And I don't know. I just think it was a well done story. And despite everyone's hate for it, that movie is made for people like me. And
yeah.
Like, who cares about all the people who don't enjoy it? As long as I enjoy it and their target audience, like young women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young women Marvel fans. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. No, I agree. I think that, you know, it had been that it took until that point to finally get a female led movie was kind of ridiculous. And that is one thing that I will say that Marvel had bungled. The fact that it took them so long to get a movie with a female lead like that. And it should have not have taken that long. But it did, but we finally got one, and it was awesome. And you know, I hope, like I said before, I hope that we continue to get more of them. You know, we'll hopefully see what happens.
We've gotten a few of them since, like we got Black Widow, of course.
Right.
We've gotten Black Panther 2, where
right.
Shuri
Right.
and
Sure.
her
Yeah.
mom are kind of like the main
Yeah.
people for that story, and kind of the Eternals with Cersei.
Right.
I think she's a lead, but it's more of like an ensemble kind of deal. But I think she's one of the main ones. And
right.
Let me see. Are there any other ones that have a female in person? Other than the Marvels.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, no.
And then we've had a few female led of the Disney Plus shows too. WandaVision, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk. We've had more in the TV show area. Which has been good. You know, it's been great to get more of those. So, you know, it's they're working on it. I think the movies are largely still mostly male led. And hopefully they will, you know,
need
to branch out with that.
When you talk about the Marvels on the show, I'm so excited because just like the future of the MCU for females is looking promising.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I'm hoping is that Marvel doesn't take the wrong message from the Marvels doing poorly. And then say, okay, well, we're not going to do more woman-led movies.
I will say the lack of performance for the Marvels, not only is it just that it didn't get promotions or marketing because of the strike and people just not liking female-led MCU movies, it also has to do that there's a boycott going on right now with Disney as a whole company because of what is going on
in the world right now.
And so that played a big part into it.
I would say to a certain degree. There's always going to be something like that. If there Disney always has some kind of
I think it just added on top of the problems that Captain Marvel already has with its audiences, and then adding on top all of the people who typically go to Marvel movies and have just kind of blacklisted it because of what's going on.
It definitely had more issues than, you know, it probably should have going into it. I believe that the Marvels will eventually get more of an audience once it does hit streaming, once it comes to Disney Plus, and I think more people can have a chance to watch it and everything. And that's another part, that's another aspect of it that you just they with everything else that was going on, it didn't seem like a priority movie for a lot of people. And that's going to happen. Unfortunately, I think it's crap to do it that way, but it's whatever. But I think that for a lot of people, there's some of them that might have thought that it was a Disney Plus show to begin with, because it was like Kamala and Monica were in it, and everybody knew that it was two people from those shows, and they were just like, oh, well, then it's probably just going to come to here, you know. And so a lot of people are just waiting. And movies are expensive these days. So there's a lot that goes into these in terms of what's it called? Just in terms of what people want to go see, you know. So there's a lot of people making the priority of going, I'm just going to wait for streaming. It's not now to me, and then I'll just
tickets are really expensive, and I don't blame people for waiting to spend their money on things that they're more excited for, because there's a lot of movies coming out very soon. We're recording this on the 7th of December, and so there's a lot of movies that are coming out between now and the end of the year that are very, very popular, that people are very, very excited for. And not only that, but there was a lot of movies between the Marvel's release and now that people have seen that they were excited for. Like, me and him just went and saw Godzilla. Fucked us up.
Just saw Godzilla Minus One. Definitely.
If you're gonna save money to go to any movie, fucking go to that one.
Definitely. I agree. That has now become my number one movie of the year. Definitely go check it out. But just know going into that, that it's gonna wreck you emotionally. Nobody prepared me for that.
And I just want people to understand that. You will be wrecked.
Yeah, exactly. So, but definitely go check it out, because it's a really good movie. It's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, I think the original Captain Marvel really was a good film, and I think it was necessary to progress the story for the movies that came after it. And I think without it, Like, you could say that you can watch it without having seen Captain Marvel, but just see it. Like, just watch it. Like, what's one movie that you're going to skip? Like, and it's, and even if it, even if you don't think that it adds much to the story, just watch it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, this, but Captain Marvel, the original Captain Marvel is definitely worth a watch too. It's a lot of fun. There's so much going on in it that is, it's just fun. It's, it builds, there's so much building material there. You know, the Tesseract's involved, Nick Fury's there. There's the, you know, the origin of how he got his eye patch. You know, there's the Skrulls. It's
the introduction of the Rambos.
Introduction of the Rambos. And I know I did the whole thing I do every time we go to the movies together and everything like that. I was like, oh, the little girl, she's gonna get powers later, you know. And it's just like, you know, I'm yeah, the worst to go to these movies. I remember
you did that.
Yeah,
I remember you did that. So she was like, that little girl, Monica Rambeau, she's actually this character in the comic books, and she's got this and that and that. She's part of this group and part of that comic book. Like, shut up. We're watching a movie. Be quiet.
No, that's not how it works when you go to a movie with me. No, but
not a Marvel movie, especially.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even if it's not a Marvel movie, you'll like look over to me and you'll just know random fucking facts about the movie. Like, that was filmed in Austria. What the fuck? Why do you know that?
I don't even know. Oh, it's so funny. But yeah, no, it's just, we haven't really gotten into the movie itself. It's we did a little bit. This movie is,
it's like, it's kind of hard to get into the movie because it's all one big story.
Right.
Like, sure, it's got parts that are like split up.
Yeah.
But it's hard to talk about those split up moments without talking about the larger context in the movie itself.
Yeah.
So
it's just, yeah, it's, there's just so much going on. There's a lot of, but at the same time, it's a very cool story about her just trying to discover who she is, how mm-hmm. she got her powers, while also trying to, at first stop the Skrulls, but then help the Skrulls. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much fun. It's a ton of fun. It's just, definitely go watch it. It's
there's not a lot to say about it. It's Captain Marvel. Yeah. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
It's fucking Captain Marvel.
Yeah. And you know, and I don't like it, as much as like I would know, and there's nothing really to spoil about it, because if you've seen any of these movies or anything like that, you already kind of know what's going on and everything with her. So it's not,
this is very much a not spoiler heavy film.
Yeah.
That's why it's a midpoint film, because you already know the original context that happened before it with the Tesseract and the first Avenger and the Winter Soldier and all of those other things. And then you also get the context afterwards with what's going on with the current people in the Avengers.
Right.
And then you, at the end of it, you get that after credit scene of the Avengers team going, what the fuck is this thing? And then Carol comes back and she's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
What the fuck do you want? Well, you got his little beeper.
Yeah. So no, I mean, it's definitely a fun movie.
And I think that was the whole point of this film, was to get it to that end credit scene so that you understood who Carol was, why she came. To a degree,
and you needed to know who she was and everything like that, for sure.
Who Carol was, her history, like that kind of stuff, so that when she came into the Avengers, you didn't just go like, well, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, no, it's a... This episode's been all over the place, but you know,
it's okay.
Go watch it. Go watch the Marvels. Really, that's the whole point of this. If you haven't seen either one of these, please go watch them, because they're both really good movies. They're both worth watching. And I think that you anybody who enjoys Marvel in general, you'll like these movies. And you know, it's just, they're both just really fun. So That's all I've really got to say about them, because it's just, it's like I said, there's not a
it's
whole
more
lot
a story
of...
about Carol than it is about anything else.
Yeah, and
it's,
and the story about Carol is really good.
Because,
and like, I don't want that to be the takeaway from this, because it seems like, because I feel like we haven't really touched on a whole lot, but I've, because of all the negativity and everything else like that,
it is a very character driven movie, and I think that that's the point, because like the movies that came out prior to this film, like Guardians and Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and all of those other films, they were all very story driven with their characters as the kind of main initiator. Mm-hmm. But rather than that, the story is initiating Carol in a way, I think. I think that's how I kind of perceive it.
No, I would say, you know, it's not a bad way to think about it. I just, you know, I think that this movie got a bad...
I don't think anyone's going to be mad at us for not saying that much.
No, and I think
I think they're already like, okay, y'all have gone around the point like 5 times.
No, and no, I agree. But I think that's the thing, is that that's the problem I have with it, is I think the movie got a bad rap. Even amongst people who probably wouldn't have given it a bad rap that much, I think it's just still one of those ones that's looked at as maybe not so good. But I think it's better than people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you definitely need to go back, take a look at it again, check it out. It's really good. And it's a fun movie that I think that, you know, is going to be integral. I think Carol should be a much bigger character in the MCU proper, and I think that's kind of where she's placed when we talk about the Marvels in the future episode.
Yeah,
that we'll get to that point and talk about that a little bit. I think the Marvels will probably be a more interesting episode in a lot of ways, because of the story goes in a lot of different directions that are more interesting. That, not that this movie's not interesting, but when talking about it, it makes it more interesting.
There's more branches than there are in this film. Like that's how I see this movie, is that it's got two or three like branches of story that are being followed. And in comparison to some other MCU films, this is not a very, like, you can have those two or three branches, but other MCU films have it packed with action, whereas this one is packed with story. And you can't, it's hard to talk about it when you only have those three branches and they're filled with story, compared to, like, we can't really talk about a lot of the action scenes in this because there's just not that many. And we can talk about some of the acting and like some of that stuff, but there's only so much that we can talk about until it kind of gets like a little heavy handed.
I agree with you. I think it's just, you
I
know,
think when we talked about Ant-Man, we were like, oh my god, he shrank and that was so cool, and he's in the drain and like blah blah blah, and like him punching and the ants, and it's like,
no, and there are a lot of good sequences in this too. I mean, the, like I said, the fight scene with Carol and the old lady on the train is really fun. Because it's, you know, it just seems like out of place, you know. And then there's a lot more. I think that this one has a lot more intrigue going on, trying to pick the pieces together. It's more kind of almost kind of more of a detective story. And so it's it does have that slower pace, not slower pace, but more of a moderate pace to it that maybe isn't so action heavy. And that is why, you know, like we said, it seems like it's slower, but it's really not. There's just a lot of putting the pieces together kind of storyline, which is good. I like a good mystery kind of story too. So that does play a lot into it. So, but yeah. So.
It's just a very different film than what MCU had released before and what the MCU has released now. And that I think it's like, it's a very like one-off kind of film. Like, I'm trying to think of a film that has come out recently that is similar to it that has come like for the MCU, but I can't really think of anything. It's just its own thing. Like you can say that definitely. Like other MCU films are similar to other MCU films because there's a beat to them. There's a action story beat, whereas this one is story action story. And so it's just like it's hard.
Yeah.
No, kind of definitely. Compare it to other MCU films and also just kind of talk about it in the scope of being an MCU film itself. So, but all in all, I think that this movie is very good. If you like powerful women being in powerful superhero movies, go watch it.
Yeah.
If you like Brie Larson and you think she's pretty, go watch it.
Absolutely. And... yeah, definitely. If you like Sam Jackson and you want to see more of him in the MCU as Nick Fury, go watch this movie.
If you
it's a lot.
Want to see more about the Skrulls and the Kree after watching the Marvels or Secret Invasion, go watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want to know more about the Flarkins after watching the Marvels, go watch it. If you don't know why Sam Jackson has if you don't know why Nick Fury has a eye patch, go watch it.
Yeah, no.
If you
this,
don't
this,
know who
this,
the
this...
fuck Monica Rambeau is after watching WandaVision, go watch it.
Sort of, yeah. You know, I mean, she's like, in the movie. She's a kid in the movie. So
yeah, but it still gives you context because she has all those flashback sequences in WandaVision that are just like, okay, where the fuck is this coming from? If you haven't seen Captain Marvel,
yeah.
So, and then you're also like, why does she now have like powers and she's not freaked out by it? Or like, why does everyone keep talking about her mom?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that we've kind of beaten it to death in that way. You know, it's that was, I think the main point is I kind of wanted to defend it a little bit because it has gotten a bad rap, and I just feel like it needed some defense there. But that's all I really have for it. I think that as long as you don't have anything else for it, we can go ahead and end it here, and you can let people know where they can find you online.
You can find me on Twitter at RCKMNKY, and I've got a pinned tweet there with all my other socials. You can find me.
Sounds good. Thank you again for coming on. I appreciate it. And
Thank you.
We will see you again here soon. Thanks again to Katrina for joining me. On Monday, Angel Krauss returns to the show for the second episode in my vampire series with the movies Buffy the Vampire Slayer and What We Do in the Shadows. And on Friday, Hugh McStay joins me for an extra long episode about the finale of the Infinity Saga, Avengers Endgame. Thanks for listening. Creepy and Geeky is a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Please check out morbidlybeautiful.com/podcasts for more great shows. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving the show 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, please share the podcast on social media to help spread the word. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or at creepyandgeeky.com. Music for the podcast is Gratitude, composed by Jerry Smith. You can follow the podcast on social media at Creepy and Geeky on both Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm GeekThulu on Twitter and Blue Sky, and Geek.Thulu on Instagram. You can support the podcast by ordering teas and more on TeePublic or by donating to the coffee page. All of the links are in the show notes. Finally, don't forget, stay creepy.